Hey, I'm glad today here on CGMF Radio that we have Stevie Bags Jr. with us from the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He is not just a wonderful football player, but he's a great Christian believer and loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart. I believe one of the reasons why the Lord put upon my heart to try to get in contact with Stevie was because I believe that he has a witness, a testimony, and a burden to share with each and every one of you that will help you in your walk with Christ and help you to understand how to keep your focus and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what you're doing and no matter what situation. And he's in a high-intensity game where he's serving God, ministering as a high-profile individual, and he's a star, and yet he tries to keep his focus upon the Lord. So I think that his ministry to us today is going to be a real blessing. And welcome, Stevie, to CGMF Radio.
I'm very humbled to be here, and thanks for reaching out. It's an honor.
Well, it's a blessing having you. And if you could, before we get started, I'd like you to lead us in a word of prayer, if you may.
I would love to. Dear Heavenly Father, we just approach your precious throne right now with humility and submission, Lord, with open arms and willing minds and hearts to serve you. And Lord, we just thank you for forgiving us for all of our transgressions, Lord. We understand that we have fallen short of your will, but we understand that your mercy is everlasting. Lord, you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You also said in your word that we can do all things through you who strengthen us. So, Lord, continue to strengthen us, continue to guide us, continue to keep us in your holy and permissible will. And, Lord, we come against any demonic forces that may just pause what you have going, Lord, may pause your will, may try to halt your will, because we know it will never stop your will. But right now, we thank you, Lord, also for favor, because when one door is closed, Lord, you open another. And, Lord, when man comes to say no, you say yes. And when the bylaws and trilaws of this earth say no, you say yes. And so, Lord, we come to you right now just thanking you once again for continuing to bless us and continuing to keep us and keep your loving angels surrounding us. Bless the bereaved families everywhere. Continue, Lord, to let your power be seen daily. And we'll be so very gracious and honored to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Appreciate you so much, Lord. That's an excellent prayer. Appreciate Steve so much, and I believe that is definitely going to set the tone for today. But if you may, let everybody know a little bit about you. Some folks don't know Stevie Bags like I do, and what you've accomplished. And give them some of your background as from family and high school, college, and how you kind of got to where you are today.
Wow, I'd love to. Well, my name is Stevie Bags Jr., the oldest son of Stevie Bags Sr. and Lola Robinson. I'm born and raised in Fort Lauderdale Beach, Florida, by way of Pompano Beach, which is, you know, in the same county, actually. I ended up graduating high school, however, in a city called Altamont Springs, which is right outside of Orlando. The school was called Lake Brantley High School. Graduated university at Bethune-Cookman University, Hail Wildcats, the Wildcats. And my university, it's a Methodist-based college. But, you know, we were always taught to enter, to learn, and depart to serve, which is definitely something that has stuck with me. I began playing football at the age of 7 years old. So I've been playing organized football since the age
That's
of
early.
Seven. And, you know, in Florida, you know, football is like a religion, much like a lot of North America. But definitely in the South and in the Southeast Florida, up Florida, football is man, it's almost just like a second nature for a young man to do at a young age. Anyway, I have a younger brother named Devin Bags. he's an artist. Excuse me. He's an artist as well, singer, songwriter. And my mother and I started a foundation my rookie year in the NFL called the CETA Foundation. And the CETA Foundation is an acronym for CETA, is Creating Empowerment Through Autonomy. And we feel that the more you become empowered, the more independent you can become, which the word autonomy stands for, independence. I started my pro football career in Detroit with the Lions. I then got allocated to NFL Europe. After that, I came back and I was picked up by Jacksonville Jaguars. After that, I went to Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Edmonton Eskimos, back to Winnipeg, and then I went to Orlando Predators. After that, I came back to the CFL and was with the Saskatchewan Roughriders for the end of 08 and the full year of 09. Then I signed with the Arizona Cardinals. And after training camp of last season, I got released and picked up by the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL again. I've been on 9 teams going on this my 8th year as a pro. So, you know, definitely have been a journeyman. And as I look back on my younger days and younger experiences as a football player, I understand all the wisdom that was surrounded around me receiving a higher education, because without that, it was something that I really, really would not have been able to understand and grasp the importance of while I was going through the trials and tribulations of being cut and put on different teams and practice squad and this and that, you know. So that's just a little bit about my past up until this point. Looking forward to a wonderful season this year with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And so as a Christian, I became a Christian at the age of 8.
Oh,
in
wow.
My backyard with my father and my cousin. And that's when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior. And I'm just so elated that he accepted me, you know. But when it's all said and done, that's been the foundation. That's been the balance that has helped me in my life to try to stay as grounded and humble and focused on the main objectives more so than anything else.
That's excellent. I mean, some of the things you mentioned, like education, some people don't realize how precious it is, whether it's public or private school, doesn't matter, to have a good foundational education no matter what the situation in life, because it will help you no matter whether things go one way or the other in the circumstances of life. And then second of all, that your foundation or the rock of your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And between those two, it seems like it's really helped you to be able to weather whatever storms, go through whatever transitions, in the midst of trying to attain the goal in your heart of being able to use your talents to their fullest ability, whether within the NFL or the CFL.
No question about it. You know, the education, I say this to many youth all the time, like, you know, I didn't necessarily like school when I was coming up.
I don't think too many of us did for some reason.
Exactly. But, you know, the main point I was making when I say this statement to the youth is that, you know, you don't like school, but we need school, because education, you know, school may not be for everybody, but education is. And so, when you're getting your education, you're in school. So, you know, that's one of the things that I always mention to the youth, because, you know, usually as a youth anyway, you don't have a choice whether or not to go to school. You know, you just do it. You know, you have to do it. Your parents make you do it. And, you know, so it's one of those things.
But it's important because it really helps us for so many different things. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, you went to school at Bethune Cookman, correct? Is that
correct.
I think that's the name of the school. And
correct.
Now that was a Methodist college. Now, how did you choose that school over others?
Wow. You know, although I had an extremely successful high school career. I broke the state sack record for quarterback sacks in Florida, you know, class 6A football. So, I mean, I had 26 quarterback sacks my senior year as a senior. And
West Springs is not a small school. That's not a small high school you went to either, I don't believe.
No, not a small high school at all. We had 3,500 students, you know, so we were really, really large. Actually, my high school had more students than Bethune-Cookman did. So, to put things in perspective, but at any rate, attending Bethune came about because that was really the only full-time scholarship that I received in the state of Florida. My mind was really set on being in Florida, and I really wanted to play my freshman year. I didn't want to redshirt. Now, looking back on that, looking back on that, I really wouldn't have minded, you know, taking a red shirt because you have an extra year of maturation, obviously, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. However, you know, when I got to, I really, you know, when you're talking from an educational perspective, I really wanted to be a sports agent when I came into school. But that shortly changed after I started conversing with my, you know, soon-to-be counselor. His name was Dr. Ziegler, William Ziegler. And bless his soul, he passed away. But Dr. Z, he pulled me aside. He said, Stevie, man, you have so much potential. And, you know, he saw some potential in me that I didn't see in myself as a, you know, wide-eyed freshman coming into college. And he saw the things I was doing on the football field. And in addition to the classroom, and he said, you know, Stevie, you really need to think about international business. And I was like, wow. Oh, wow. I said, why? And so he said, you just think about it. He said, every business, no matter what, wants to be global or wants to have some sort of global appeal. And that was absolutely true. And so when I heard that, it resonated, and that's what I did. I changed my major from business management to international business, and the rest is history. I mean, when I received my degree in international business, I can tell you it was the most gratifying thing for me and my family because, once again, speaking on education, I was the first person in my whole entire family to even attend college, let alone get my degree. So I'm not talking about intermediate family. I'm talking about the whole family out of both sides of the grandparents and great grands and everything else. I was the first one in the family to actually, you know, graduate from college and actually go to college.
Great accomplishment. Great accomplishment.
These types of things, you know, you look back on and you're like, wow, you know, what is it that God has purposed for my life? And you know, those are the questions that I ask myself often because, you know, we have plans, we have goals, we have desires, but really and truly it's all predicated upon God's desire and his will for our lives. So, you know, a lot of times you just ask that question, you know, Father, what is it exactly that you have ordained for me to do while I'm here on this earth?
Amen. Because Jeremiah tells us that everybody, even from the very womb, has been ordained for a purpose under heaven. And so many times as a minister and a pastor, I've seen people come and say, this elusive will of God, they're trying to attain this elusive will of God, but sometimes it's right in front of their face or they don't take the opportunities that God has right in front of them.
No question about it. And you bring up a great point. You know, number one, God knew us before we were in our mother's womb. So for that to be said, we had a life before we were even here, you know, and that and that's how we know we'll have everlasting life. But while we're on this earth, one thing I've looked at and noticed is that the gifts that God has blessed us with, like you said, we can sometimes take those gifts for granted. And that's what those particular gifts he's given us, he gave those to us for free. So why would we not be good stewards over those gifts? And then number two, why would we not share these gifts with others? And I think once we are good stewards over the little, which is something that he gave us small, we can definitely be good stewards over the large, you know. And, you know, it's like a lot of folks look at the blessings as the cars, the house, the spouse, the money, and all this, but the blessings are your enablement, your empowerment, which is, you know, also your gifts. And if you can, that's the true blessing. And the cars, the houses, the money, all the stuff that comes after that is the result of the blessing. So, you know, those are just the things that a lot of folks, we have to, you know, kind of reevaluate and take self-inventory on when we talk about our plan, our gifts, you know, and what God wants us to actually do while we're here.
That is true. I mean, it's in our lives as we try to follow through in the will of God, one of the things I have found through life, it's like I told people, finding favor with God and man in living an exemplary life or trying to live out the things of the Lord will always see you through. Don't try to burn too many bridges. Don't try to cause all sorts of bitterness and hurt. Allow your spirit and your character to be such that those around about you would be attracted to the Christ in you so that when times do get tough or whatever, the favor of the Lord will be upon you.
Wow. Wow. No question about it. Because, you know, when you're a good steward over your season of prosperity, no matter whether it's tangible or intangible, usually that sustains you when you're going through your season of, you know, lack.
That's true.
You know? And so it's like when you're at that high moment, you know, you have to understand that, listen, humility comes before honor. And if I keep this humble spirit, that's the only thing that separates somebody from being good and being great. Somebody that's good, they have one season of greatness. But somebody who's great, they it's continual. And usually it's not because of the ability that they have physically. It's more so because of the mental, emotional, and spiritual ability that they have to, like you said, treat others well, acknowledge God's favor and his power on their lives, and to just make sure that you don't take this opportunity that you have to be at a high, you know, place in your life for granted. Now, we all know that we're going to have peaks and valleys. That's life.
But yeah, that's true.
I think on the flip side of that, when you're in your valley moment and you're going through the trials and tribulations, that armor, I think you build armor when you're going through that. That builds your armor up. Because, okay, man, I just got hit. So now I can see that. I can see that dark.
You become more confident using the armor of God. I gotcha. I understand that.
No, but like when you get back up to the mountaintop again, mm-hmm. or your peak moment again, now you can stay there a little longer because the same darts and the same things that came at you when you were in the valley, they're not phasing you now when you're at your mm-hmm. at your peak again. You know, because I've
That's
seen
excellent.
That before, and
I
faced that before. So you know, those are some of the things that I really look at when you talk about being a good steward.
Well, you know, one of the things you talk about going through the valleys and different points, you've had different points in your life where you've continued on the road trying to serve God and honor the Lord, and you continue to see God facilitate your football career, but yet you've had ups and downs. Now, in the midst of that, you've had transition periods, but it sounds as though you've learned from each one of those trials and situations and moved and evolved and have not become disheartened from it at all.
Oh my goodness! Proverbs chapter 29 talks about how you can seek an audience with a ruler, but it's from the Lord that a man gets justice, you know. And you know, it's like, hey, and football, there's no greater, I guess, mirror image of that, because you know, a man in essence is the one a lot of times in whatever we do, but definitely in football, because you know, we don't have the guaranteed contracts. We're only as good as our last plays in these people's eyes sometimes. So it's like, you know, you seek that favor and honor and that audience with the ruler who in that case is your general manager at times or coach. And so you start to really depend on their word as opposed to depending on God's promise. And so that's how in football you can kind of get misconstrued on what's really the big picture here, you know? And so like, I know for me, I think that success is based on two things. Your number one, your intentions, and then number two, your habits. You know, I think in order to truly be successful, you got to have good intentions, and then once your intentions are in line, your intentions have to be in line with your habits towards achieving the goals that you've set to be successful, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and
that
so
makes sense.
It's like, you know, when a lot of times people just say they want to be successful, but number one, they don't have the habits to get there. Number two, they don't have the intentions once they get it. Okay, once you become successful, then what? What's after that? You know, are you going to be successful, or do you want to be successful just to hoard wealth for yourself, or do you want to be successful to live this plentiful lifestyle and this big house and all these cars and just not use your leverage to give back wisdom to someone else? Because usually it's not about the tangible items that you can give someone more so than the intangible. Because, you know, as we have all heard the old saying, you teach a man how to fish and he'll eat forever. You give him a fish, he'll eat for the one day. But, you know, that's the same thing. It's the same thing in life. You know, if I can share my testimony with a young man, a young lady, about how, you know, listen, no matter what happens, what man tells you, you got to understand your worth and what God promised is for your life. Because see, the thing that made me not give up on football was the fact that I know that God had gifted me to play football. But I just didn't know the purpose behind it. You know, I have more clarity of that now, you know. So when I had a scout tell me, my first 2 years out of college, had a guy from the Giants tell me, Stevie, man, you might as well go ahead and give it up, man. You had a great career in college, but, you know, 3-time All-American, Black College Player of the Year, all this stuff, that's great. But we don't think your legs are going to make it because I'm pigeon-toed. So he's like, well, we don't really see you, you know, producing on at the highest level. So you might as well just give up football, man. You have a good degree, just working in corporate America. And not long after that, I got signed by Jacksonville Jaguars. So that immediately, you know, displaced any doubt that I had in my mind that this guy knew exactly what he was talking about, you know. So
there you go.
We have to understand that no matter what a man tells us, that God's promise, once again, God's gift that he blesses us with is the main thing we have to stand on, you know. So, I mean, you can only imagine being cut being on 9 different teams in an eight-year span, the amount of peaks and valleys that I've faced, you know. And
but you've been determined. You showed determination, though.
Oh, no question. But see,
yeah,
it wasn't. But the thing is, it wasn't me. As we know, it was God's strength and his power that kept me going. But I mean, I had to really get down on my face before the 09 season and ask God, what is it that you want me to do with this? And it wasn't until I changed my personal intentions behind the game and behind the reason why I'm playing that God was able to really and truly move and let my potential on the field flourish for those others to see.
Well, just for everybody to know, that year, Stevie had a wonderful year with my favorite team, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and did a tremendous job. And, I mean, he, along with some of the other guys, got them all the way to the Grey Cup in just probably one of the best Grey Cup games ever played, and just had a phenomenal year. And it was a year of difficulty, some disappointments, but they had a great year. And Stevie personally, I don't remember how many sacks and different other things he had, but he had a phenomenal year. And I'll tell you, I mean, I don't think Saskatchewan wanted to lose Stevie, but he had an opportunity, I believe, in the NFL too. But at the same point, he has taken whatever opportunities God has blessed. But as you heard him say, there was something that happened in his heart before that season started that seems to have made the difference in where he is today.
No question about it. No question about it. And you know, all the accomplishments that, you know, I had on the field that year really pale in comparison to the goals I had set for myself. So what I tell a lot of people, not just you, because I think no matter how old you are, you have to have a vision, you know, or goals. And I think, you know, what sense does it make for a person to have perfect eyesight and no vision, you know? You know, and you know, I'll say that once again, why would you have perfect eyesight but no vision? And so it's like you're not going anywhere because you don't have a vision. And so, I mean, when I look at that year, I had a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish for myself, yet I don't know how much of it changed once I started receiving the accolades and things that come with being a good player, you know? And so, you know, a man is tested most by the praise he receives. You know, that's really a man's biggest test. And so, you know, when you're lowly of spirit and when you don't have anything going for you, anyone could keep this humility going. But when you're ESPN and TSN, people are telling you, man, you're the best, you know, sack player, sacker or defensive end I've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now you start really, you know, you really start thinking like, wow, you know, and you can kind of get off track a little bit. And I think that's one of the things that happened to me because, as you explained, my season was great that year. I led the CFL, the Canadian Football League, in quarterback sacks that year. And I'd done some wonderful things that I personally thought that had set me up to be the defensive player of the year for the CFL. You know, my stats were there, everything, you know, the accolades, making player of the week, so many times, player of the month, so many times in the season, I thought it was there. Yet, once again, when your intentions can change. And it just goes to show that about us not being flawless, but being faithful. You know, it just goes to show how that works. So it was a great learning experience for me because all I have to do is control the things that I can control, and that's, once again, my intentions and my habits. And if I control that, all else will fall into place according to God's will.
I like what you say about intentions and habits, because sometimes when it comes to even God, people say, well, God must have allowed this to happen, or God must have done this, or God started that, or God did this. And God gets blamed for a lot of different things that God had nothing to do with anything. And because you've got to understand God's intentions. God's intentions are good for you. God doesn't want you to, he doesn't get the jollies out of your suffering or something like that. He, you know, and we go through trials and circumstances of life, but God's intentions are good. And if we have good intentions and a pure heart, despite the difficulties that come our way, and we set those habits, like you mentioned, we can keep on course despite the circumstances. Because those guys who are praising you like they were in 2009 could be sitting there tomorrow saying, hey, your Bags has really lost it tonight. You know, you just never know.
Well, you're absolutely right, because, like I said before, you know, in the game of football, just like life, people look at your last play, your last play in football, your last play in life. They don't look at the whole big picture. They don't look at the inmost part of a man's being. That's what God looks at. But man looks at,
it's very superficial what men do.
This guy just messed up one time, this time. That's who he is. Well, the thing about it is, when you look at, like you said before, your intentions, I think a lot of times people should choose to try to do things that is considered hard work for them instead of hard work. Like when you're doing hard work, you have a passion for it. You don't mind waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning to go train and do a two-a-day and do this and do that because this is what you have a passion for. So when you're doing hard work, you can make all the money in the world and still be unhappy because this hard work is not really getting you, rewarding you the things that you really need.
Now, how was it different for you when now you were in Florida, you were a football player in Florida and everything else. Now, you went to the Canadian Football League, and I know the weather and, you know, the things you guys had to fight with in some of the games. I've seen you guys have to play in conditions that were unbelievable. How did that adjustment with that environment, how did you mentally prepare yourself for that?
No, I mean, the weather, it's, you know, for a Florida guy, yeah, it was definitely a transition, but I don't know. I just think it's a part of being a football player. You know, being in Florida, we had to play in weather conditions that were too extreme for someone who probably is from the north. So it's give and take, you know?
That's true. That's true.
You know, we had to play in heat and humidity where, you know, and now I go to Canada and, you know, really and truly, most of the year in Canada, it's nice, you know. And on game day, you don't have a problem playing in any kind of weather because, you know, you're that hyped up. Now, the hard thing about being in Canada is practicing in those type of conditions. I think that's the most difficult thing. So that's probably the biggest, I guess, mental factor that you have to beat when you're up there during the year. Because by the time the end of October, beginning of November comes around, you start feeling like, okay, number one, it's the end of the season, and number two, it's like, hey, man, it's cold out here. Can we go practice in the dome? But, you know, you got to fight through that, you know, and that's part of being a warrior, and that's part of being a football player.
Well, yeah, because you mentioned focus, and, you know, environments change, but yet you can mentally, physically, and emotionally keep yourself set upon a certain goal and work through it. You know, I know sometimes people say, well, I grew up in this neighborhood, and I don't have the advantage of that person. I'm going to be stuck here all my life, or I'm here, and we don't have the advantage you have there. A lot of people make excuses because of their environment instead of looking at the opportunities that might be there. And even if they're small, even if sometimes it's just a little window of opportunity, if they can take that opportunity, it can make all the difference in the world. And I know you speak to a lot of kids where you go to, and I know you try to give them hope in those meetings. I was looking at a video the other day of you ministering to a bunch of kids at a school. I mean, you were trying to sow seeds of hope in those kids' life, and I think you tried to help them to understand what they could attain to. I think you were talking to them about being a star or something like that.
Yes, I'm going to hit on that. But with CETA Foundation, we do an objective during our athletic symposium called Financial Economic Challenges. And in that, we talk about no matter if you were born in a castle or you raised in the back of your mom's car, you know, we don't care if you're in the worst ghetto or the nicest neighborhood in America. We want you to understand that there's no drugs, no violence, no excuse for you not to be successful, because somewhere along the line, someone is going to expose you to a difference. And we just had a family contact us. This lady, her and her son, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, got kicked out of their home, living in the car. This young man has a scholarship to some school in Texas. You know, they reached out to us to try to, I guess, get help to find a place to live, man. And this young man is an A and B student and has a full ride football scholarship coming up this fall. And so
that hits
on the importance of what we were just saying. No drugs, no violence, no excuse. We don't care where you were brought up. You know, you have no reason to not be successful. And once again, when you talk about success, when you talk about stars or a star, it's a funny thing. I asked the students, you know, how many of you guys want to be a star? And usually everyone raises their hand, no matter what industry they want to be. And then we give them an acronym for STAR, and, you know, it's to seek, teach, and reach. So that's what a true star should be doing, seeking, teaching, and reaching others in order to make a difference. But you have some stars, when you spell that word backwards, it's rat. So there's a comparison of the two, you know, and what is it that you want to be? Do you want to be a seeker, a teacher, and a reacher, or do you want to be a rat? And just think about your worth, once again, beyond whatever industry, whatever game you're in. You know, discouragement, the enemy comes in like a flood to discourage you, yet God's promise shows up and destroys the entire work of the enemy through things like that.
That's very good. That's excellent. You know, and it's important to be able to keep that heart of mind that allows us to see that God has a purpose for each and every one of us and a plan. And, you know, if we can see that God has potential in each one of us and be able to tap into it, it's like a well that just wants to spring up. But too many times people don't tap into that well, and you're talking just about that. It's like, hey, you know, you guys can attain to something. You can accomplish something. You just, you know, grab hold of the opportunity.
That's so, you know what, a lot of times when we face discouragement, you know, music can change that. Joy comes in the morning. You know, a lot of times we hear the saying that joy comes in the morning. So I got a quote that I usually tell people. Since joy comes in the morning, no matter what time zone you're in, it's always a new day somewhere. So start over and keep it moving, you know? So it's like, you know, when you're going through something, it's like, hey, man, right now in another part of the world, it's a new day. So let this moment be your January 1st. And just keep it moving, because when you're stress-free, that equals victory. You know, a lot of times we stress over the stuff of the world when God is just trying to teach us a lesson or test us on how important or unimportant this stuff really is. And once again, you really feel the true meaning of reward or success when I think you can really impact someone else's life in a better manner through the means of, you know, empowerment, knowledge, wisdom, understanding.
Excellent. That's excellent. Well, hey, I've really appreciated this really opportunity that we've had to share with one another. Hey, Steve, what are some of the, what would you like to leave us with today, some different things that might be upon your heart? I mentioned when we started that, or actually not when we started, this was privately between Steve and I before we got on the phone, was the fact that I wanted him to also, before he finished up with us today, and I want to respect his time, let us kind of know in his traveling, how he sees the church is doing and what Christ is doing in the body of Christ in general, and where you see the body of Christ right now, Steve, if you could just, because you get to travel a lot more than many of us do, and you see other churches, other places. Where do you see the body of Christ, and what's happening that you see right now from your heart?
Man, that, you know, that question is really, really, oh, man, that's something that I have to really ponder on. And the reason I say that is because I don't want to ever come across as judgmental to anything about the church or about my father at all, you know, because I think a lot of times we don't understand what it is that churches or pastors or ministries are going through. But what I can say is, man definitely is always going to have flaws and always going to have a vice and always going to have things that come up. However, when you're going to a church and when you're going to, and like me, when I go visit churches and I see certain things that may not agree with my personal relationship with the Father, I look at it like this. Listen, Stevie, try to look at them as God looked at Job. You see, Job was a man that was blameless in God's eyes, and Job was blameless in God's eyes, not because he didn't sin, but because God judged his inmost being, the inmost being. So I look at this. We don't go to church, or we should not go to church to serve the pastor or to serve the church. We should go to church to serve the Lord. And so when we look at things that may not come up or that may not agree with our spirit, we have to still understand, listen, these people are not flawless, but it's through our shortcomings that God's perfection is really shown. Because, you know, we're made in his image. And so our weaknesses are balanced out by his perfection. So when I see things in churches, like I see, I go to a church in Hamilton. Oh, my goodness, I forgot the name of this church. I visit so many churches. I go to this church in Hamilton. The church is so awesome. I mean, the young people, they're up. I mean, it's almost like rock and roll. You know, they're up there just jumping and dancing. And I mean, to a traditional Christian, that may not sit well. But for me, I'm like, yo, this is what's happening. Because I understand that God's spirit has no limits. God is not.
Amen.
God is
out of
the box. You know, when it comes to rock and roll, when it comes to hip-hop, when it comes to any new age thing, God is the creator of that, not the enemy. The enemy just comes and distorts that, you know?
That's
so
true.
It's like when you talk about hip-hop, when you talk about rock and roll, when you talk about all these different things that young people are into now, God created that. The enemy came and distorted it. And so it's up to us to take it back and to make it known that this is a part of our Father's creation.
Yeah, because the enemy, he's not a creator. Our Father is a creator. And I remember in the 70s when, I'm dating myself here, in the 70s when Larry Norman came out, he was a rock and roll preacher, basically, and he had a song called Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? And it was the fact that, you know, hey, my hair might be long, and long hair was very apropos back then. And so, you know, hey, he sat there and he ministered nothing but rock and roll lyrics, and thousands of kids came to Christ. You know, it has its purpose in the body of Christ.
It sure does. I mean, I've been to a ton of churches that, you know, the big thing now is that a lot of people talking about, we have talked about for years, is how churches are money hungry. Well, once again, I think it's your intentions behind your giving. You know, tithing, in my humble opinion, when you study the Levitical law, and understand, you know, back in the Levitical times, you had the 12 tribes and you had the 11 tribes that received an inheritance. And then the 12th tribe, which was the Levites, they did not receive an inheritance. So the other tribes chipped in and gave them a portion. That was their charitable tithe towards the Levites, who were the priests at the time. However, I think that a lot of folks put tithing also in a box. I don't think tithing is just finances. I think tithing is your time, your energy towards bettering the kingdom. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you disagree or agree with that, but I feel that, you know, a lot of times when you just emphasize the importance of money, you can turn someone off. Because, see, God provides for his anointed ones. The Father provides for his anointed ones. Yes, the church likes to be on. Yes, the church has objectives that they have to do and achieve and attain. But just like my foundation, the Cedar Foundation, if we can't get a grant or we can't get sponsorship, we still have to make it run. We still got to keep it moving because the Father is going to provide the things that need to be provided in order for his purpose to be, you know, seen, if you follow what I'm saying. So I think that a lot of times churches can turn people off when you just ask for money as opposed to asking for someone's time or for someone's energy or for someone's knowledge behind a certain matter, because that also can be a form of tithing. You know, a lot of times churches go to Malachi and say you're robbing God. But if you look right above the verse when they say you're robbing God, God was speaking to sorcerers, adulterers, people who steal from widows. And, you know, so there's a lot of times the word of God can be manipulated to do things that are not really his purpose. But once again, God, he's going to, and he has, and he always will, he'll make himself, he'll expose himself in the end. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. I see a lot of good. I see a lot of things that I disagree with, but, you know, that's not for me to ponder on. I just look at, I take the good out of it, and I keep it moving.
Right. The church will have its battles with carnality or selfishness and things. We definitely will. I know that churches go through struggles, and I have a dear friend and pastor who we're trying to help right now through our ministry and otherwise. There's only 9 people in his entire church that are employed right now, and we are, and he's trying to keep them encouraged and whatnot. He's still trying to pay the bills, but you know something? I don't hear him complaining. It's unbelievable, his spirit and his attitude. And he has blessed me so much. And the other day we sat there and talked, and once again, the same thing. It's like, and yet he sees hope. And, you know, I think right now the thing is we need to recognize that wherever we're at, we've got to honor God with what we've got. And, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when I was going through some personal struggles, I sat there and said, God, I'm having a tough time keeping up with my tithe, doing other things. And the Lord basically just said to me what he did with Moses. What's in your hand right now? What do you have now to give me? So I gave him my time. I gave him what I had. And he took that. And then months later, I was recognizing that, hey, I'm not having any problem with this anymore. But I started with something. And God didn't sit there and make me feel bad or terrible about what was going on. And, boy, you terrible sinner. You're not keeping up your end of the bargain here. But he said, what you got, Pat? What you got? You know, and I think that that's what the Lord's asking each and every one of us, Steve, is, hey, I'm not asking you for something you don't have. What do you have to give? What can you put on? What can you give me that I can bless today?
Wow.
You know, and
like
with your talent and everything else, Steve, you have for the kingdom and everything else, it's like every time you go on that football field, hey, what can you give to me today? Amen.
Wow. That's amazing that you said that, because you know, just to talk about your pastor friend and what he's, you know, what he went through, what he's going through. See, there's a difference between having God's favor on your life and always asking favors from others. You know, and see, when God's favor is on your life, the things you guys and your ministry is helping out with their ministry, that happens organically. And, you know, it's like the more you complain about things that bother you, the more those things come to pass. But it works the same way with the things that make you pleasant. So usually, like you said, giving what you have to the Father is more of a sacrifice than giving a surplus to him of something that you really don't even need. You know? So it's it's so wonderful, you know, it's so wonderful. You know, it's what does it say about the rich man, you know, entering to the kingdom of heaven? And you know, that, you know, that verse hits home in so many other areas of life as well. You know, it's, you know, because I think we can hide behind our riches. We can hide behind, you know, the things of this world that we get sometimes. Once again, praise, the more a man is tested most by the praise he receives.
There you go. Well, Steve, I'm so thankful you were with us today, and I hope that you will have a an awesome season in Hamilton, even though we're going to miss you again at Saskatchewan. But I know that you have a great team you're going to be working with. You have a great Christian brother, I believe, who's just joined your team as a running back and other things. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord's doing. I've noticed in the short few years that in the last few years that I've been watching CFL football, God is putting Christian men like you in so many places in the CFL and being a testimony. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'd like you to close us with prayer and as I say, blessings for the next season. And Steve, would you carry us out today on the, on the broadcast?
Yes. After prayer, I definitely want to leave a few things with you guys, Pat. I want to tell you I appreciate it. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for the word that has been shared today, the test that has been turned into a testimony, the mess that has been turned into a message, Father. We understand you can turn adversity into an advantage. You can turn tragedy into triumph. Lord, we just thank you because, Lord, without you giving us the wherewithal to even call your name, Lord, where would we be? Lord, we understand that the fate of a wise man and the fate of a fool is the same. We both die. However, we have everlasting life because you have put and embraced us with a supernatural ability, a supernatural power that the world cannot really see and that the world doesn't really understand. But you said in your word, Lord, that the weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through you by the pulling down of strongholds and vain images, Lord. So we come against any demonic force once again, Lord, that tries to take away the power of your kingdom and the movement of your kingdom and the blessings of your kingdom, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he can never kill the power of the Holy Father, and that's Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, because no matter what the symptoms are, we are victorious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pat,
well, hey, folks.
Pat, this is. I just wanted to say a couple things before I get off.
Okay.
If man ever lets you down, it's probably God's way of showing you to depend on him, not on man. When man comes short and fails, but God comes on time and prevails. Man can give you an award, and see, awards, they dwindle away. But see, God gives you the reward. When God is trying to prepare you, the enemy is trying to rush you into something that you're not ready for. Take your time because your season is near. God bless you all. Thank you, Pat.
Hey, take care, Steve. God bless you richly. And maybe we'll get together again some other time. And I just pray God's blessings. And I just sense his Holy Spirit. And it's just been a wonderful time in the Lord. So thank you so much, Stevie, for being with us.
Thank you so much. Where can I for people to listen to this interview?
Very easily, just go to cgmfinc.org, cgmfinc.org.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless. Take care, Steve. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Well, I'm so glad that we had Stevie on today, and he has been such a blessing to us, and what a wonderful testimony to the Lord. And please be looking forward to hearing this broadcast again, and God blessing and ministering to you through it. And we're hoping to put it on our website for a download for you to be able to listen to it anytime to refresh and to strengthen your Christian walk. God bless you, and thank you for being with us here on the Covenant Hour.